This is Doug Hastings, Vice President of Moody Radio, and we're thankful for support from our listeners and businesses like United Faith Mortgage.
Mortgage commercials are rarely exciting. So to make it slightly more interesting, here are my nieces to do it for me.
So interest rates continue to drop like my sister's baby teeth.
Come on, Uncle Ryan had to say the same thing last year.
That's true. Last year, it was rates are boring talk historically low. And now this year, they're somehow even more boring talk historically lower than the previous boring talk historically low.
Sounds boring.
But for so many listeners who just haven't wanted to deal with it, refinancing right now
could save you massive amounts of Lego sets.
Rates have gotten that low. Some borrowers could potentially save hundreds monthly and tens of thousands over the life of a loan. And if you didn't put 20% down before, some could even stop having to pay PMI.
Give Uncle Ryan a shot.
We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
We've got a lot to get to, so I hope that you will stay with us throughout the morning, including a great chance to win some prizes in about 2 hours from now as we play Don and Steve Jeopardy. But before we do that, we're going to head to the Word. It's what we do every weekday morning at about this time. What does God have for us from His Word today? And looks like we're going to take a look at God's abundance in our lives. Going to 2 Corinthians this morning.
We are, as we look at 2 Corinthians, God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, and may have an abundance for every good work. That's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. When you relate to God, you always deal with abundance. That's something I'm not sure we think of often. His abundance. For God, He does nothing in half measures. He does everything full on. And it's true regarding His grace as well. The Lord is not miserly when it comes to providing grace to His servants. When you seek to perform a good work that God has asked you to do, you can count on Him. You're going to always find an ample supply of His grace to sustain you. I think we have to go back, though. When you seek to perform a good work that God has asked you to do, we tend to want Him to give us that ample supply of grace to do our own stuff. But we need to put Him first. So if you begin to lose heart in the work that you're doing, God's grace upholds you. He gives you the love for God and His people so that you can get everything you need to continue and to accomplish what He has for you to accomplish. So when you face criticism, you're misunderstood, God's grace enables you to forgive. Those accusers, you can go to Him and let the sense that God's pleasure is on you, even when others don't understand what you're even doing. And when you make mistakes in the work that God has appointed for you to do, God's grace forgives you and puts you back on your feet. He lifts you up. He gives you strength to continue the work. Oh, wow. That is just, there's something about the joy that wells up in your heart when you think about Abba Father, right? Our Heavenly Father doing that for us. And when you complete the task God gave you, no one expresses thanks for what you've done. The Father, His grace surrounds you and He reminds you, you have a heavenly reward for everything that you've done in the Lord's service, because He's the one that's going to remember. You don't have to depend on man to validate you. When you are following God's purpose and His plan, His requests, He doesn't promise to provide you all you need with your dreams and all you need for the projects. He does assure you, though, this: for every good work you attempt, you're never going to face a shortfall of His grace. You will successfully complete the task that God has given you because He is with you, He sustains you, He gives you all that you need for life and godliness. He is with you as you seek to do what He has asked of you. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. That's where we're looking today with the help of Blackaby Ministries International. And we have put this on our Facebook page, Dawn and Steve in the Morning, but you can get it if you want to text for it. It's the keyword Devo, D-E-V-O, 800-555-7898. You can grab that devotional through your phone this morning. Keyword Devo, 800-555-7898. This is Moody Radio. I promised you the Devo on our Facebook page. I was having some operator error issues on my end. It's coming. It's there. But want you to know you can easily get it by texting Devo, D-E-V-O, to 800-555-7898. Sometimes when things don't work the way they're supposed to, you just have to laugh.
Exactly.
It helps.
It really does.
I would prefer to deal with stress through laughter, if at all possible, than screaming, yelling. I mean, it happens, but laughter, it helps me more. So I'm already celebrating National Laughter Day.
It's funny. My wife says that to me sometimes. She's like, when you get stressed, you laugh, don't you?
Like,
sometimes that's okay. Sometimes that's annoying.
Well, I totally agree. I think that's true. What I think... For me, if I can be like in that stress moment, but then something happens that is funny that kind of takes that pressure off.
Like, oh, yeah.
Either something that I've done that's just dumb and you can laugh at that. That nervous laughter, though. Yeah. I annoy myself with nervous laughter sometimes. But those belly laughs, man, they can really diffuse any kind of stress level that can rise up.
Not only that, but it's really good for you. I had no idea. It can boost your immune system in addition to relieving tension. I mean,
very nice.
A way to stay healthier is to be laughing more and help you relax. William James said this about laughter. I like this. He says, we don't laugh because we're happy. We're happy because we laugh.
Ah, that's true.
So I think there's an element of truth to that.
Is that chicken, egg, chicken?
That's a good question. But one of the nice things about laughter is it really can be contagious. And even faking it sometimes can have some benefits. So if you need help, there's this thing called laughter yoga. So I found this online video of this woman doing laughter yoga. I didn't know whether I wanted to, you know, like stab myself with a blunt object or just no. Give into it and try and laugh after watching this thing because it looks ridiculous. Still undecided. On the fence on that one.
I see. Okay. I'm going to watch and see. I'll let you know if Steve Hiller does laughter yoga. I think about the contagiousness of laughter, and it's so true. I was watching a video the other day, and it was somebody being Southern, which I am, and talking about storms and tornadoes in particular, and how especially those of us that have kind of grown up watching storms come through the areas, the dad in him was talking about, you go get in your safe place. He was talking to his kids, and you go get in your safe place. I'm just going to stand out on the front porch and watch the storm. And for some reason, because that's been my whole thought process on, and I know this is terrible, especially for our friends that have had to deal with tornadoes of late, but you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. If you were raised in these areas that have storms, that is kind of your thing until it really shows up. And then it's a whole different deal.
Right.
But his shtick made me really laugh. I had tears.
Well, there's a number of things that you might want to do today to celebrate that. You watch some comedy. Here's an idea that I thought was kind of a fun one. You could make your phone ringtone a laughing baby. Because there's something about watching a little baby laugh.
That's a great idea.
Man, if that can't put a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. National Let's Laugh Day. I'm curious what makes you laugh. 800-555-7898. Is there something that you just really enjoy that's going to get you every time? For instance, if you're watching the military videos and the folks are coming back and they're surprising their loved ones, that you cry. It's an automatic. You know there's going to be one of them that just gets you. But there can be videos that make you laugh every time. Maybe it's sarcastic humor that gets you. That tends to be me, kind of dry. quippy, not rude or ugly. I don't like any of that humor. But if you can just kind of laugh at yourself, that's usually a good way to get through life. And just having a laugh track, it's been proven in entertainment that if it's not too cheesy, it actually promotes laughter. If somebody's laughing alongside you, it is contagious, even if it's canned. Weird.
You know, one of the things, every once in a while, I watch a comedy special on TV or jump on Netflix and watch a comedian. And I think there's a reason they send out a warm-up guy to try and get them, you know, in the mood and already starting to laugh. And if you're sitting on your couch by yourself and you're like, okay, yeah, that was a funny joke. That was kind of funny. Very rarely laughing like the people in the audience do, because I think you're right. There is something contagious about that, being around other people who are laughing and being kind of warmed up for that and in that environment versus sitting there on the couch by yourself watching even a really funny comedian. Like we were watching Tim Hawkins the other night.
I love him.
Hilarious.
So funny.
Right? I mean, and there were a few laugh out loud moments, but I'm picturing if I was in that audience with all those other people, it'd probably be tears running down my face.
Yes, I. So I can't go to those shows because if something gets me tickled, I'm that person.
Stop.
I can't.
Those people are the best.
So bad.
That is fun. Well, I hope that you will find a way to celebrate National Let's Laugh Day today. Maybe even hopefully something on the show today will bring a smile to your face. Hey, it's Don and Steve in the Morning. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to Moody Radio.
Don and Steve in the Morning, and today we're talking with Molly Walker. Molly has actually just recently been nominated for a contest. It's called Remarkable Woman, but there's a lot of depth to this contest out of Memphis and Channel WREG. And we want to know the story when a friend, Lauren, had nominated you for this particular designation as a remarkable woman. Molly, as you join us this morning, why did Lauren go down that path and say, you've got to look at the life of Molly Walker?
Lauren and I, our friendship just goes way back. And honestly, she said, I'm going to submit you for something. Are you okay with it? And I said, sure, whatever you want to do. I had no idea. And then I get a phone call that said, and actually it was an email and said, you've been chosen as one of the finalists. And I just was completely blown away, burst out into tears. And once I read the essay she wrote, it was one of the sweetest things anyone has ever said.
So why did she pick you? I mean, what was the story behind the pick?
This is the hard part, because talking about myself is my favorite thing. But Lauren and I, again, go way back, and I was able to walk alongside of her with her walk with Christ. And so it started at that foundation and had a hand in baptizing her, and we've just really just grown together. But I am a Carville City executive at a local community bank. We are always doing things in the community, such as holding cop stops, serving at Salvation Army, member of Carville Rotary, Carville Chamber. And also I lead and co-found an advocacy group called Tennessee Fertility Advocates, where we advocate for infertility coverage. And trying to just make a difference to me is all it is. It's just treating others like you want to be treated. And a customer of mine gave me a big sign in my office, and it says, go the extra mile. It's never crowded. And I just try to live by that, because that's what we're here to do. God just calls us to be light in this dark world. And I feel like each and every day, that's just my passion.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, as you mentioned, one of the things that you're involved in and actually co-founded, Tennessee Fertility Advocates. Tell us a little bit about that. What is that?
So last summer, my friend Lauren Brown and I, located in Carville, Tennessee, we unfortunately share the title of being infertility patients. And we have started seeing other states have insurance mandates come out and regarding infertility coverage, which infertility is a disease. And so we said, why not Tennessee? Like, Tennessee is a pro-family state. We're all about families here, and born and raised in Carville, Tennessee, it just is home. And so we started Tennessee Fertility Advocates, and now we have over 7,000 members in our grassroots organization just in a few short months. And it is really taken on, and so excited to just allow God, you know, to use me as his hands and feet, you know, just it's been a huge blessing and answer to prayer.
Now, Molly, you mentioned something that I know has got to be a painful journey, and that is the journey of infertility. Can you share a little bit about your story that led you to the day for such a time as this, that you'll go into the halls of the legislators? We'll get to that in just a minute, but share a little bit about your story with infertility, if you would.
Absolutely. And you know what, Dawn, it's one of those things when you're going through trials and tribulations of any kind, sometimes we often think, why, Lord, would you allow this to happen to me? Like, I'm a good person. I go to church. I give my tithe. I read your word, but why me? And so my journey, basically, long story short, we struggled with infertility for about 5 to 6 years. Unfortunately, in between both of my children, I had 2 miscarriages. It was a very dark and depressing time, but at the same time, I found hope in Christ. And my husband obviously was a huge supporter, and same for my family. But I was diagnosed with an ovulation issue and had a blood clotting disorder, but all of that wasn't found out until thousands of dollars later after seeing a specialist. And none of it was covered by my insurance. But at the time, Dawn, I was really private with my journey, because infertility, you don't hear about that a lot, but it affects 1 in 6 couples, and many are affected. And so through a lot of prayer and God just working on my heart after having both of my kids, almost a 6-year-old and almost a 3-year-old, who are just pure joy in our lives. Again, God just orchestrated Lauren and I's path to kind of start this next movement. And I call it giving my pain a purpose, and that's what we're doing.
I love that, taking that pain and finding the purpose in that, and that you did something. I mean, sometimes when we struggle, we keep it quiet. We keep it to ourselves. We've got about 30 seconds. Why, Molly, did you feel like, man, I have to do something about this?
You know what? I was so tired of feeling alone. I was so tired of just feeling like I'm the only one. And as a woman, I felt like my body was... God had, created it to do this, and it wasn't. And so anyways, it was just a calling on my life, and I wanted to make a difference, and I was tired of being quiet.
Well, you certainly are doing that. And we're going to come back in just a few moments, continue the conversation with Molly Walker, co-founder of Tennessee Fertility Advocates. You can find out more about them when you go check out the website, TennesseeFertilityAdvocates.com, how you can get involved and make a difference as well. We'll continue with Molly in just a few moments. You're listening to Moody Radio Nashville. We're 91.7, 98.7 AM 1200. Don and Steve in the morning. You're listening to Moody Radio Nashville. It's Don and Steve in the morning. Glad you've tuned in here, 91.7, 98.7 AM 1200, talking with Molly Walker. She's the co-founder of Tennessee Fertility Advocates. And if you want to check them out, and I hope you do, go to this website, tnfertilityadvocates.com. Again, that is tnfertilityadvocates.com. Molly, you were sharing a little bit of your story of infertility with us before the break, and you know, God kind of impressed upon you, do something with your pain. Find a purpose for that, because this is, as you said, something that impacts a lot of people, 1 in 6 couples dealing with infertility. Why do you think it's so important that insurance be a, that insurance help cover this?
You know, I look at this as well, American Medical Association classifies infertility as a disease, but yet the reproductive system is the only system in the body not covered by insurance or not mandated. And so this isn't a choice. People have all sorts of issues: endometriosis, polycystic ovarian syndrome, male factor infertility, because it doesn't just affect females, it affects males as well, or just unexplained. And people want treatment for their disease, and then they want to build a family. I mean, obviously, that can come in all forms of ways: adoption, foster care, but also the ability to have your own children as well. And so we just need help financially. We have advocates selling their homes, taking out loans, dipping into their 401ks. It's just unacceptable. It's unacceptable to treat a disease that way.
Wow. And you're talking about advocates. Is there a lot of support here in Tennessee for what you're doing as you're going? Isn't it next week you're going to the Capitol to bring this up and bring it to the floor?
Yes, we have the incredible Chairman Savi Kumar, MD. He is the sponsor in the House. And then we have Senator Becky Massey. She's from the Knoxville area. And she is our sponsor in the Senate. And we have numerous co-sponsors that have signed on. This is a bipartisan bill. So it is not a Democrat versus Republican. This is a bipartisan effort. And we've been shown a lot of support. But yes, next Monday at 1 o'clock, it will go to the Pensions and Insurance Committee. And then on Tuesday, the big one, it will start with the Insurance Subcommittee at 1:30 on Tuesday. And you can actually watch it live online. And we will be there. And we are so excited to have to represent thousands of Tennesseans struggling with this disease.
So what does the legislation actually cover? I mean, if this passes, what changes?
So our legislation, which is Senate Bill 425 and House Bill 1379, this will provide Tennessee families with timely access to health care to treat the disease of infertility, coverage for the diagnosis of infertility, fertility treatment, and fertility preservation. And that is basically, so if someone was diagnosed with cancer, that they could have the ability to freeze, their reproductive cells and have their own children one day. But it's currently set to benefit Tennessee state employees and also the fully insured market. And it provides a lot of cost savings for maternity care in Tennessee. So there are so many wins with this legislation. And we wrote it in a way, or the authors of the legislation with fertility doctors in our state wrote this in a way where it doesn't discriminate against male factor infertility, which is something we see a lot of in other states that just has older language. And it would be really the best legislation in the country for those going through infertility, and definitely the greatest pro-family bill that this state has ever seen.
Molly, it sounds like if we have the coverage for infertility within a family, that you're going to give somebody access early on. Is it more of a benefit to have early access to health care?
Absolutely. So, for example, I have an advocate in Knoxville, and she's been struggling with endometriosis for years, and she knew she needs to get this treatment. However, because of the cost, she's waited 7 years. So like her stage one endometriosis is now like a stage four, which is just worse, and it's going to require more invasive procedures. But 97% of those going through infertility will not need assisted reproductive technology such as IVF or in vitro fertilization. I didn't. I just needed some simple treatments to help with the blood clotting issue. And many of us are that way. However, if we have access to that care earlier on, it will save so much in the long run.
You know, when you talk about so much, give us an idea of what so much means. I mean, are we talking thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars? What does this mean for a family?
So this will mean, I mean, the average IVF procedure is $12,400. And this can, it just varies depending on the situation and how early on this disease is caught, whether it's male factor, female factor, unexplained. So the cost savings or the cost for the procedures really can just vary, but it also allows people to make educated decisions, and they're less likely to transfer more embryos if they have coverage in place and it's not their one and only shot.
Well, this bill is headed to the Capitol. You said it starts discussion on Monday and goes before the vote. Is that right? On Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay. And you can get more information at TNFertilityAdvocates.com. The co-founder of TNFertilityAdvocates.com with us today, Molly Walker. Molly, thanks for not only sharing your story. I'm so glad that the Lord has given you strength and courage to be able to do that, but also for heading up this legislation that could benefit so many Tennessee families. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
WFCM 91.7, 98.7 FM, 1200 AM, Moody Radio Nashville. It's Dawn and Steve in the morning.